Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Wouldn't cruising down the road in your luxury dream car make you so much happier? Apparently not. A new University of Michigan study on consumer experiences finds that the reality does not match the fantasy. To discuss the findings, I'm joined by Dr. Norbert Schwartz, a professor of psychology and a researcher at the U of M Institute for Social Research and a professor of marketing at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Welcome to the program, Dr. Schwartz.
Thanks for having me.
Now, your study focused on the consumer experience of driving luxury cars. How much happier are the buyers of these vehicles than those of us driving simple and much less glamorous ones?
Well, most of the time, it doesn't make any difference what car you drive, as long as it doesn't break down and really bother you. But there are a few moments in which it will make a difference. And the crucial point is very simply, if you pay attention to your car. When you focus on the car, then driving a nice luxury car does indeed feel much better, and you feel much better in it than when you drive an economy car. But that's not what you usually do. Most of the time, drivers are busy with something else. They think about shopping, their shopping lists, they talk with the kids in the back seat, they have their job on their mind, and they're not paying much attention to their car. And as a result, the car really is not of great benefit, and they feel just as well in a luxury car as in an economy car, and they really could save a lot of money.
How long does that take, then, to go from the point that you've purchased the car and you're proud of it and you're focusing on it to the point that all of that falls away?
Probably, for most people, a few weeks, and you can often, however, go back to that honeymoon with your car if you actually take out your car and you pay attention to your car. So even if you have had the car for a while, when you go on a fun ride and you just pay attention to your car and how you're driving, that is something that feels better in a more expensive than in a less expensive car. But most of the times, that's not what you do. When we did a survey, that was about 2% of the driving episodes. Most of the time, you drive for some other purpose. You go shopping, you drive to your job, you drop off the kids at a sports place or something. And in those moments, you're not paying attention to the car.
Isn't there an enduring status symbol that remains a factor in driving a high-end automobile, even once the initial thrill wears off?
Yep, that may be the case in the probably also rare moments where you can, you know, brag with your car, you can park it in a nice place where everybody sees it. But when we measured driver's emotional feeling, how the driver feels while driving the car, we only got differences between the drivers of luxury cars and economy cars in the few situations in which they focused on the car. So most of the time, you sit in your car and you're not thinking about the neighbors being envious that you have such a wonderful car. You think of something else.
How effective are luxury car ads in convincing consumers that they'll have a wholly different experience on the road if they're behind the wheel of an expensive vehicle?
Oh, luxury car ads are extremely efficient at doing that. And in fact, when you go to a test drive, you will be convinced that the ad was right. Because a test drive is exactly the moment where you do nothing but pay attention to the car. You're driving that car, you wonder what it would be like if you had it, and when you really pay attention to your car, you can savor every aspect of it, and then a luxury car does feel better. So you're not wrong when you think a luxury car can feel better. What you're wrong is simply one thing. You're not going to drive your car as if it were a test drive every time you get into it. Most of the time, you have something else to do.
I'm talking to Dr. Norbert Schwartz. He's a professor of psychology and a researcher at U of M's Institute for Social Research and a professor of marketing at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Dr. Schwartz, it seems that other than a person's house, a car is the second most defining and expensive item that a buyer purchases. What should consumers think about when they make this purchase in light of the results of your study?
Well, consumers with a car and with many other things should think about how they'll use it and how often it will be on their mind. And when you buy a very low-end car or a used car that's already pretty old, and you're approaching the point where the car will be on your mind because it may fail on you, you may never reach your job, you may not be able to go shopping, it always sounds a little funny, at those points you're really better off getting rid of it. because then you have the negative impact of paying attention to your car. But most of the time, really, it is only influential when you attend to your car, and you have to ask yourself, how often will I do it and for how much time? Most consumers would probably be much better off driving a reliable, middle-of-the-road car and renting their luxury car for those days when they feel like it.
When you look at the general consumer experience of purchasing and owning items in general, is there a pattern of disappointment when the anticipation of ownership is compared to the reality?
Yeah. I mean, people usually expect that they will get much more fun out of the things they buy than they actually do. And again, the secret to a lot of that is just how much attention to pay to the product and for how long and how often. So you imagine that it would be really wonderful to wear that great jacket, and so you buy it, and really, when you look in the mirror, you look wonderful in it. But then, you know, after a few times, you stop looking in the mirror all the time, and it's just a jacket that you wear. And you may not feel much better in that jacket than in the other jacket, except for the few moments when you consciously think about your jacket.
And as a professor of psychology, and you, when you look at our consumer culture and how we seem to repeatedly buy items we really don't need many times for this initial thrill, what do you think it is that causes so many people to continually do something that many times puts them in a bad financial state?
Well, it turns out that it is very hard to learn from the mistakes that you make on that. So suppose that you bought a luxury car. Every time you really think about your car, you focus on that car. And when you focus on that car really is better than the other cars that you could have bought and didn't buy because it wasn't good enough. And when you think about whether you should really change it and buy another car, you again focus on the car. You would really learn from the experience that most of the time it doesn't make a difference. To learn from that, you would have to attend to the things that you're not attending to. And that is just very difficult. The same is true for jewelry and many other items, which give you a relatively short-term kick. And after that, you look at them, but you're not really attending much to them, and you're not that wildly proud of it. So that the overall effect is relatively small. It does not brighten your day. It only brightens minutes.
I see. It's in a sense, it's a form of a temporary distraction that I guess if you continually repeat it, you can avoid focusing on other issues.
Yeah.
What kind of purchases are generally just as rewarding over time as they are initially, and does such a thing even exist?
You know, such things exist in a funny way. They are things that you, in a way, don't own but do. Typically, experiences have a longer impact on your happiness and your well-being. So if you do things that you remember for a long time, that you enjoy while doing it, that you then talk about with your friends and so on, those are things that turn out to have more benefits in terms of making you feel good. So you're actually better off going to the concert more often, going to sports events more often, taking a nice vacation to a place that's exciting and interesting or really relaxing. Then you're doing yourself good by owning yet another piece.
There's a real lesson there. You're saying ultimately it's more satisfying and rewarding for a person to spend money on events or vacations rather than on items. Is this something you think we're likely to learn as a society?
I have no idea. The scientific data on that are very strong, and there's many studies coming out these days that converge on that point, that experiences are better for you than possessions. But, of course, it is hard to realize, because when you look at the possession and you imagine yourself having it, you get that little short-term kick. And that kick is very compelling. And you end up missing that actually it's gone in a few weeks.
Dr. Norbert Schwartz, a professor of psychology and a researcher at the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research and a professor of marketing at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Schwartz.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
We'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.